Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. 3 months ago, we showcased Keep It Colorful, an ambitious effort to expand diversity on television via crowdfunding series pilots. Find out how colorful turned out when Season Spark Chief Executive Emily Best and pilot creators Jackson McLaurin and Santana Coleman, along with Santana's producer, join me next. Will 2019 be the year interactive television gets embraced by viewers? Hear from Interactive TV Today editor-in-chief Tracy Swerlo, whose annual TV of Tomorrow show engages in New York Thursday. She'll be here later this hour. Also ahead, Tribune Media merger take two, The Blaze flares up again, new smart TV stats, wait till you hear them, and our new classic trivia question. Hello everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks and original audio productions whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free titles when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Delighted to have you with us on this first Monday of December 2018 for the program All About Television. 53 degrees top of the hour. Happy first day of Hanukkah to all of our Jewish listeners. And happy wedding anniversary to my mother and father who are on transit right now from New Jersey to Boynton Beach, Florida. Love you always. And I'm thrilled that you're always back what we do as a family. And happy wedding anniversary to both of you. And we hope you're celebrating something. We hope you're having a great celebration wherever you are listening to us. So wonderful people coming your way in the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Another way to get involved is our chat room. Simon Apple 04 Menendez 562 is already in the room. You can find Simon Apple 04 at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen or speaker screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. Our guests from See It Sparks Keep It Colorful campaign will be live from Los Angeles and Milwaukee, Wisconsin after these news notes. For the second time, Tribune Media is entering into a merger agreement with another owner of television stations. Tribune, which runs WPX in New York, KTLA in Los Angeles, WGN Chicago, and basic cable network WGN America, has decided to tie the knot with Nexstar Media, operator of more than 100 TV stations nationwide. If the transaction goes through, Nexstar will pay $4.1 billion and invest up to 13 stations to meet regulatory requirements. Sinclair, currently the largest TV station owner, attempted to get Tribune last year at $3.9 billion. The various issues led to nixing that transaction 4 months ago. Nexstar management anticipates its deal for Tribune will be finalized by next summer. Now, how fast are viewers checking out what's on their smart TV sets or TV connected devices? How about 8 billion, that's right, 8 billion hours a month, according to a new Nielsen report. That monthly level of content consumption is as of this past September. According to this report, people aged 13 to 30 spend twice the time watching smart TV and devices as they do with mobile devices and computers. Another key finding, 8% of people between the ages of 18 and 24 watch smart TV and device-distributed programming. Breaking news this afternoon, Full Frontal host Samantha Bee has something to shout about. She's formed her own production company called Swimsuit Competition. I am not making it up. That is the name of that company. And TBS, which carries Full Frontal, will get first dibs in whatever Bee's new venture produced. Once again, Samantha Bee forming her own production company, Swimsuit Competition, TBS, which carries Full Frontal, new episodes beginning on Wednesday night, will get first dibs to run whatever Bee's new venture develops. And I understand it's going to be a mix of narrative and documentary programming. And now to complete these before we get to our guests, Glenn Beck's cable network, The Blaze, will merge with CRTV, the digital programming service formed by Fox News Channel commentator Mark Levin. The second season of You, Lifetime's striking drama that started this fall, will move from that network to Netflix next year. Lifetime reported exiting the scripted series field to concentrate its scripted focus on movies and miniseries. Bobby Frey will expand his relationship with Food Network under a new 3-year development arrangement. New deal, the new new Beat Bobby Flay episodes will be included in the deal. Cameron Hall's daytime talk hour, set to begin next September, has been cleared over half the U.S. via Disney ABC's syndication unit. And Starz's original series lineup next year will include The Dublin Murders, an 8-episode adaptation of novels by Cara French. And that is news notes for today. And now let's check up on what is going on with Keep It Colorful, the ambitious crowdfunding campaign that was launched by popular website Seed & Spark back in September. First of all, joining us live from Los Angeles is the chief executive of Seed & Spark, Emily Best. Emily, great to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me back.
It is a pleasure. Of more than 40 pilots that were offering crowdfunding through the Colorful campaign, 27 made it. And you're about to hear from two that have some very special deals attached. First up, from Pink, we've got, again, live from Los Angeles, Jasmine McLaurin, the creator of that program. Hello, Jasmine.
Hi, how are you? Thank you so much for having us on.
It is a pleasure. And now joining us live, along with both Emily and Jasmine, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the creator and the producer of Black Girl Training, one of the other key winners of Keep It Colorful Round 1, Santana Coleman, and her producer, Emily, I hope I get the pronunciation right, Emily Kaiser. Santana and Emily, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Emily Best, we'll start with you. Since we last checked up with you in September on Keep It Colorful, how did things turn out?
You know, sort of beyond our wildest dreams. We were really excited to meet creators from all over the country and, you know, find stories that, you know, spoke to local audiences and to lots of different kinds of experiences. And I think Black Girl Training is, you know, perhaps the most perfect example, right, of taking real lived experiences in places that are not New York and Los Angeles. And I think what you find is those experiences tend to translate to more universally to audiences than the struggling artist in New York story that we've seen 10,000 times done 10,000 ways. So it was really the quality of the content and the creators, the creativity of their pitch videos, the beauty of their outreach campaigns. You know, you have an idea about how something might go, but in practice it was just like one of the most delightful initiatives we've ever created and plan to do more in the future.
Before we get to our creators, Emily, there were 3,000 submissions to this campaign. Nearly 50 made the cut to be crowdfunded in the first place. They all had the same amount of time to get whatever the crowdfunding goal was, and more than half, 27, made it. Were you surprised, A, at the quality of the submissions, and B, at the final outcome, that more than half the first time around with this were able to make the cut?
Yeah, I mean, I think we hold ourselves to a really high standard, and we, of course, wanted all 50 projects that launched to be successful. I think a lot more goes into a crowdfunding campaign than most filmmakers acknowledge, and I think our job at Seed & Spark is to make sure they are as ready as possible when they launch, but we obviously don't control all the variables. What I will say is what I'm most proud of is that it, yes, okay, so there's only two winners, but actually 27 projects from all over the country raised money and gathered audience. And I hope that the lesson there to be learned is, like, you don't need Black and Sexy TV necessarily. It's great to have them. You don't actually need even Keep It Colorful as an initiative. You know, creators anywhere and everywhere can be greenlighting their own projects by building relationships with their audiences from everywhere. So the number that I'm most proud of is that 27, is that there are 27 series by creators of color from all over the country that are going to get made now. And, you know, this, by the way, like, concluded a week after the New York Times published an article about the pipeline problem. And I think the best way that we address these really, like, bankrupt notions about the pipeline problem is we just get this kind of work made and seen all the time. And then we don't have to have the conversation anymore because we can just point to it and say, here's 27 projects that got greenlit in a month. Where's your pipeline problem?
And that pipeline being a lack of talent in terms of creating shows in the first place, much less shows that are produced by or aimed at people of color. And Santana, I want to start with you and your producer. What is Black Girl Training all about, and what kind of feedback did you get when you were crowdfunding this?
So Black Girl Training is based on my producer Emily's life. It's about a young black woman who was adopted at birth by a white family and grew up in a very rural town. And then for college, she moves to the city where she's around people who look like her, but she still doesn't quite fit in. And so upon the opportunity to meet her biological family, her two best friends put her through a Black Girl Training to teach her how to be more black. And we surprisingly got like a lot of support and love during our campaign. We were very kind of shocked to see how many people identified with the story, how many adoptees, transracial adoptees kind of stepped forward and said they felt the same way. And also just people who grew up in rural areas in general kind of feeling like there was this area of the world that they didn't fit in with, or not having like a black card because they didn't grow up a certain way. So we got a lot of love and support during our campaign and afterwards.
And Emily, as a result of being along with Pink, one of the two top winners, you got additional funds and you got, more importantly, a development deal with a production company or a programmer. In your case, I think it was $15,000. And the production organization was Black and Sexy Television, which is a programming service that's currently available, I believe, on some smart TV sets and smart devices. So, Emily, tell us how things are working in terms of this arrangement with the additional funds and working with Black and Sexy.
Yeah, it's been crazy and exciting, and I think that both Santana and I feel like our dreams are kind of coming true, like, right in front of us. So being able to work with the folks at Black and Sexy TV and to know that there are people out there who are ready to invest in us and to see the work that we're about to put out and believe in us, it really means the world. And I don't know. It's just such a blessing, and I feel so honored.
We're talking about CN Sparks' very ambitious and groundbreaking Keep It Colorful campaign, the Ambition Get New series produced by and aimed at people of color and a general audience is also on the air. We're talking with Emily Beck. She is the founder and the CEO of CN Sparks, who joins us live from Los Angeles, and two of the key Keep It Colorful winners, Jasmine McLaurin, whose pilot is called Pink. We'll talk to her shortly. She's based in Los Angeles. And from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the creator and producer, respectively, of Black Girl Training, Santana Coleman and Emily Kaiser. They're all joining us live this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Thank you for starting your week with us, first week of December 2018. If you have a question or comment for any of our guests, put the call through 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, two creators of television series that are now in their second season will be with us back-to-back live. First, from the acclaimed Star series, Counterpart, starring J.K. Simmons in a double role performance. I thought she'd gotten an Emmy Award nomination this year for Best Drama Series Actor. We've got creator executive producer Justin Marks. And right after him, from overseas, we'll have the creator executive producer of Patriot, now in season two on Amazon, Stephen Conrad. It's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Jackson, talk about Pink. What is that program about? And again, what kind of feedback did you get when you were launching your crowdfunding?
Sure, absolutely. Well, Pink is an hour-long television drama about four young girls growing up in Washington, D.C. In the late 80s, right when D.C. was about to become the murder capital of the world. So the story is about how those girls push through and support their parents and their basically all the adults around them as those adults lose to the drug gang. And initially we knew that it would do really well or get a lot of response from D.C. because it's a D.C. story. But we were really surprised by how many people it touched, excuse me, throughout the country. Again, it was a great experience trying to raise as many followers as we needed for the campaign as well as the money and all the stories that we got back about just how important it is to tell this type of story from the viewpoint of women because girls exist in hostile environments too. And people are just very excited to see a story about that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a $10,000, in addition to all the money you raised in crowdfunding, you have a $10,000 grant, and you're also working with Color Farm Media. It's a production company that was formed by Erica Alexander, the former co-star of the long-running series Living Single. I had a chance to meet her earlier this fall at the NAMIC conference here in New York City. What's it been like working with Color Farm, and how far along with you on your pilot?
Oh, wow. It's been amazing working with Color Farm and all the other mentors that we were assigned to. We are right now trying to figure out what's the best way to play out this series since it's an hour-long drama, whether it is trying to raise more money for it to be a full pilot or whether or not we're going to go for a teaser instead. So we're in the really beginning stages of figuring out what's best to present to the world in order for this to be on your TV screens.
Mm-hmm. Emily Beth, with the other 25 pilots, where are they? How are you keeping tabs of them? And are there any plans to sort of help them in other ways? For example, either provide mentors or, more importantly, give them exposure, let's say, at the next round of TV festivals that will be happening in 2019?
Yeah, so actually all of the finalists, and there were 12 of them, were connected to major industry mentors. So of the 27 that got funding, 12 projects additionally fully qualified for the finals, meaning they got 500 followers. They had to post a certain number of updates. And as a result of the work that they did to build audience, they earned this chance to work with mentors. So actually that's all in process right now, that 12 of those pilots are already working with the industry mentors. And for every project on Seed and Spark, you know, we keep tabs on them. We support them through the festival circuit. A lot of them earned filmmaker rewards through our rewards program just for building the audiences that they built. And generally speaking, you know, they're members of our community now. So we are doing the things that we do to support all of our community members. And that is, you know, tracking them through the festivals and trying to be great co-promotional partners. We connect our filmmakers to opportunities always as they come up. I think what's really exciting is that the interest in the Keep It Colorful campaign and the wonderful work that the women that are on this show with me today are doing is really laying the groundwork to make opportunities like this available for next year and the year after and the year after that. I mean, it's really the quality of their work and being able to point to it and say, these are the kinds of creators that come through programs like this, means that we'll be able to create programs like this through the future. And ladies, I'll say this to you now, I'm here for whatever you need, so you write to me.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Santana, going back to you about Black Girl Training, where are you at in terms of putting the pilot and the series together? Have you started to put together a writer's room? Are you starting to work with Black and Sexy in terms of shaping the show? Give us a sense of where things are at right now.
Yeah, so I think one of the most beneficial things about this whole experience was the mentorship that Emily just talked about. You know, we got four awesome mentors, and we have been talking to them a lot about our script. And what we decided to do after winning Keep It Colorful, we also won a Milwaukee-based grant, which allowed us a lot of other options and more money and things like that. So we're super excited about that. And we just kind of wanted to pause a little bit and make sure that with all this new money and mentorship and opportunities and support, that we're going to put out the best possible project. So we decided to pause production, which was supposed to be happening this month, actually, but we decided to postpone it until hopefully February to take more time to talk to our mentors, get more advice, hone our script more. So right now we're kind of back to the development stages and making sure that whatever we put out there can lead to the best possible film and or series.
Emily, if this does become a series, what do you think it will do for the Milwaukee, for people who want to produce television and even film out of Milwaukee? We know Chicago, of course, is starting to have a major role in TV production because of the Dick Wolf Show, Chicago PD, Fire, mm-hmm. Man, et cetera. What do you hope this will do for local TV makers who want to create their own series like your program in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee as a city usually flies under the radar for a lot of things. And when people think of Milwaukee, they don't really think about how great it is to live here. So I think that it'll help put Milwaukee on the map. But I also think for filmmakers specifically, just giving us the confidence and the reassurance that we can have a filmmaking career and live in the city of Milwaukee, and that our stories are relevant and are important. I've actually had a lot of like young Black woman, like since we've won the Keep It Colorful campaign and the deal with Black and Sexy TV, I've had a lot of young like filmmakers of color approach me and just express like how excited they are that we have this opportunity and how much like seeing us succeed and have these opportunities to work with bigger production companies is giving them hope that they can make the films that they want to make and tell the stories that they want to tell. So it's awesome to be another person's inspiration or source of another inspiration. And I think Santana and I both feel that and are ready to continue to show the world that Milwaukee is powerful.
Jasmine, where are things at with Pink? What part of the production cycle are you in? And also, what has it been like working directly with Erica, who is somebody who, when I met her at NAMIC, sounds very, very excited about really taking opportunities like this to expand what is possible with TV diversity.
Yeah, sure. Like, she honestly has been the best mentor that I could ever ask for. She is very much so involved in figuring out how just to make sure that this is the biggest success that it can be. So we're looking at my script right now and tweaking it in different ways that will be so that it can be best presented to the world. She's great. She's just a really good person to have in your corner. And like I said, we're working on the pilot just to strengthen it at this point. And hopefully we can take something out to shoot this summer.
We are talking Keep It Colorful. It is the campaign that started this fall. It is now going to become an annual campaign from here on in from Season Spark, the crowdfunding website that does a lot with film and television, a la also other sites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo. We've got Emily Betts, the chief executive of Season Spark, with us. We also have the two key creators that are involved in the first round of Keep It Colorful, Jasmine McLaurin from Pink, and Santana Coleman, along with producer Emily Kaiser. Jasmine is live from Los Angeles, along with Emily, and Santana and Emily are live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And they're all with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell It. Yes, a lot of people at one time to keep track of, but they're all with us, and we're happy you are, too, whether you're checking us out on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Simon Atbound with you live from New York. By the way, first day of Hanukkah to all our Jewish listeners. We hope you're having a very happy start to your Festival of Lights. And if you have a question or comment for our guest, give us that ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Atwood, 04 in India, 565 is already in the room. Coming up in our next half hour, Tracy Swedlow, the head of Interactive TV Today and the organizer of the annual TV of Tomorrow show, will be joining us live. She's here in New York because TV of Tomorrow show has its annual New York affair. Happens Thursday morning at the School of Visual Arts Theater on 23rd Street off 8th Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. Emily Best, what is next for expanding Keep It Colorful next year?
We are in the process of looking for partners to help grow the program. I mean, ultimately, I think the goal is to make this annual and national. And, we need to have a place for all of those young women who are getting inspired by, Emily and Jasmine and Santana to go to do their own projects, and we want to make sure to have a lot of resources available. This is really a pilot program for us, and I consider us incredibly fortunate to have had winners like these for year one, because, again, it's something that we can point to as we go to new partners and be like, look, if we could do this in year one, imagine what we can collectively do together, and imagine the story we'll be able to tell having been a part of the incredible trajectory of these women's lives, you know, early on in their careers. Because, I mean, you just have to listen to them talk to know, like, look, this is our next generation of showrunners here, right? These are people with tremendous vision, tremendous ability to execute. And it's really about putting the collective resources behind them to make sure that they can be successful. And right from where they are, I mean, I think wanting to shine a light on your local community. I love Milwaukee. We go to the Milwaukee Film Festival every year. Like, I think that it is totally a sleeper on the program, or it's a sleeper in the film space. And if you're smart, you're paying attention to what's happening there. So, you know, for us, it is also really about being able to expand the program in partnership with a lot of organizations that we, you know, in cities where we now know there's a lot of interest. We learned so much in year one. So year two, you know, we'll re-up with our partners in Milwaukee and Cleveland and Detroit and Raleigh and Atlanta and D.C. and L.A. And you know, make sure that we can really expand the footprint.
What kind of partners would you like? Would you like, for example, an Apple, a Walmart, a Warner Media, a Disney, which are all going to be launching major programming services next year, the sponsoring devices? Would you like a Lionsgate or a Fremantle or a Sonar Entertainment, a major production company to be involved?
I think we want organizations that are deeply values aligned, and those values have to not just be about sort of this broader notion, quote unquote, of diversity and inclusion, but actually about empowering creative storytellers to do things their way. So our partners have to understand that it's really important that our creators get to maintain their creative freedom. When you talk about like the Apples and the Walmarts of the world, they have very, very strict content guidelines. And so probably that's a less appropriate fit. We look for prestige production partners who really understand their particular markets. Black and Sexy TV is a great example. And we look for brands who really want to support real creativity. And I have a few targets in mind, and I don't want to say them out loud so I don't jinx it. But, I think values alignment is what we look for first and foremost, and part of those values are about transparency and creative freedom.
Yeah, I'm curious whether a Netflix, a Hulu, and Amazon also might, given some of the things they've been saying lately, I know Jennifer Salke is very interested in trying to bring more women, for example, and women of color into her bailiwick.
Yes. For me, I will put this out there, like Viola Davis, I'm coming for you, and Juvie, and there are a few other partners like that. Transparency is really important to me, and that also means data transparency. Part of the reason Seed and Spark launched its own subscription streaming platform was because none of the other platforms provide data transparency to the creators whose work is generating the audience data that is making these companies valuable. And I think that's a crime. So for us, part of the values alignment and the partnership has to be we want to make sure that the creators have access to the data that their projects generate. And so that's a piece of our calculus.
And that'll be an interesting thing to get into because you have people like Viola Davis, Regina King, Gina Rodriguez, America Ferrari, all have launched their own production companies. Or something. We just had the word Samantha Bee launching her own company, which I think we'll do some now. We have a scripted content. We'll it's just the first book deal with TBS, so we'll see. Very quickly, Santana, is Black and Sexy TV committed to making this a series?
Yes, they definitely are. They actually, I think, in a way, prefer that we make this a series. And I think initially our idea when we first started this whole thing was that it was going to be a short film. And then as we really started to see the potential and the love and support and how, like, unique the idea was, we were like, you know, this could definitely be a series. And so we definitely want to make it a series. But now we're just in this space where we're trying to figure out, you know, what's the best route to bring the series to the world, if we should still do a short film or if we should just only focus on a series right now. So Dennis from Black and Sexy TV and all of our other mentors have been extremely helpful in that. So I think you guys can definitely expect the series coming out of this.
Yeah. And Jasmine, ideally, where would you like to put your series on?
We have a couple of places in mind right now. I'm looking more towards, I guess, streaming at this point. But it's honestly all up in the air, and right now we're trying to just make sure that whatever our list looks like, that we tailor a series that would make sense. So we're trying to make this series make sense and put it out there for who might want to see it.
One thing is for sure, this is the start of something that potentially is going to be very, very big and will really lead, I think, to a lot more television series getting on the air all over the place, both produced by and featuring and aimed at people of the growing audience here in the United States. If you want more details about Keep It Colorful, here's where you go online, www.seedandspark.com. That's www.seedandspark.com. Round two will be starting early next year with workshops taking place all over the country. Some of them, we hope, at television festivals. And we'll keep you posted about how the 2019 campaign runs. Emily Beck, the head of Seed and Spark, Jazz McLaurin, Dan Santa Coleman, Emily Kaiser, thank you all very much for coming on. Good luck with your various pilots, and also good luck to the 25 other pilots that are also in play. And Emily, we'll hopefully check back with you many times over the course of this campaign's existence, which I hope runs for a very, very long time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Have a great day.
You too. That's all of our gang from Seed and Spark joining us live from Los Angeles and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. When we come back, we'll have our Clap It Trivia Question of the Week and Tracy Swidlow of Interactive TV Today and the TV of Tomorrow show on where Interactive TV is going. But first, we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com, your home for the best in internet radio programming with more than 30 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR and Spreaker is your home for Brand New Day. Join Emily Blue and her gang every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. And don't forget Blog Talk Radio's best of programming, available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away on this first Monday of December 2018. Simon Appel with you live from New York. In a few moments, we'll be joined here in the Big Apple by Tracy Swedlow of Interactive TV and the annual TV of Tomorrow show. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a great holiday gift, one that is full of sound and vibrancy, how about a special trial run of Audible.com? And it's a great time to do it because it's not just one title in play, it's three. That's right. When you go to audibletrial.com/televised and you get a free 30-day or 1-month trial offer, you get not one, not two, but three titles to choose from. One from the catalog of over 180,000 titles, and two from the growing catalog of Audible Theater. It's original radio productions, off-Broadway and Broadway shows, plus one-woman performances. It's all under Audible Theater, and you can get two of those and one of Audible's current catalog. And don't forget, you get great customer service as well from the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/televised. audibletrial.com/televised, and listen for yourself how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. My next guest has definitely transformed the way we read and we hear about what is going on in the world of interactive television. She is the founder of Interactive TV Today, a very popular newsletter. She also does programming stuff, which has been on Blog Talk Radio over the years. And she is the founder and the originator of the annual TV of Tomorrow show. It takes place twice a year, once usually during late spring in Silicon Valley, and the second time, the New York version, this week, Thursday to be exact, at the School of Visual Arts Theater on 23rd Street off 8th Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. Joining us live from the Big Apple in our annual conversation with us, pleasure to welcome back, as always, Tracy Swedlow. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for that good intro.
Thank you. So
I'm glad you have an Audible sponsorship because I listen to Audible all the time.
How do you like it?
Oh, I love Audible. It's great. I use it a lot.
They're a wonderful sponsor, by the way, and their selection of titles is amazing, including a number of titles that are based on some of the shows and programs that and services that we cover on this program. So, Tracy, here's the scenario going into your conference. We know that 2/3 to 3/4 of all U.S. households, maybe more because of Cyber Monday and Black Friday sales, et cetera, have smart TV sets and devices. As we mentioned near the top of the program in news notes, they are now consuming 8 billion hours of content a month. They are spending more than an hour a day, every day, with their sets and devices. And now you have artificial intelligence voice services like Siri, Alexa, Google Assistant, Cortina, built into the sets and devices. You can control what you see and hear with your voice. Do you think with all this that next year, 2019, is the year that interactive TV finally blossoms?
Well, there's certainly a lot of monetization going on today on big screen TVs. Just to link this back with the conference, we are going to have two different sessions that are going to deal with the success of the monetization of connected interactive TV sets like Samsung or Vizio or LG. And so I would say interactive TV is already available if you're going to just navigate and access your programming through any number of platforms like, you know, Apple TV or Roku, or, you know, you're participating in interactive TV on a big screen if you're using it as a big screen experience, right? That is a form of interactive TV. It's a sort of light form. But if you're talking about real interactive TV where you can influence the content and things like that, you know, we definitely heard this year, for example, that Netflix will be doing an interactive experiment with Charlie Brooker's Black Mirror series that was very successful, right, on Netflix. And they're not telling anybody what they're doing, but I think it's going to be based on Choose Your Own Adventure format planning technology. They have not talked about what is enabling that interactivity. They already have launched, I think, two or three, maybe several children's programs that were interactive, but they kept that on the lowdown. So there is real interactive TV going on. There is light everyday interactive TV experiences. I mean, everything you do on television today is interactive, pretty much. I mean, unless you just are watching through an antenna and you're watching linear TV, and even if you use a remote control, that's considered interactive TV, Simon, to some extent. So anyway, what I would say is there's a lot of money being generated by delivering advertising to these platforms, to the big TVs, over these interactive platforms. So I would say it's going to keep growing. And the
As a matter of fact, I think the estimate is $6 to $7 billion in ads through connected TVs and devices this year. The projection is like $14 billion next year, maybe $20 billion or above for 2020. But the other thing too is that, and by the way, Ted Sarandos, the head of programming for Netflix, just spoke at the UBS Global Media Conference. We don't know if he had anything about the Choose Your Own Adventure. And we know there are individual, well, I should point out, these are individual episodes, but there is talk they may do a series of programs that would be Choose Your Own Adventure, Choose Your Own Course. But we know two other things that are happening. One, Legendary has an interactive website called Alpha. We had Orbital Redux, which was a live science fiction series that was done this fall, 9 episodes where people had the opportunity to choose which way the characters or the storyline went. And Legendary is looking at maybe making that interactive television service. And more importantly, Walmart has a $250 million bet on Echo. That's the service that Samsung and MGM are involved with, and venture capitalists. And there's talk that that may become now an interactive TV service, especially when you consider that Samsung is like 30 million smart TV sets around.
Well, we've been covering Echo for a long time, and thanks for reminding me about that. That is, you know, now I've forgotten his name. I mean, that's the Israeli guy that's behind Echo, who is a very famous musician as well. And they do wonderful work where they build the interactivity into the experience so that you can choose your interactive experience before it actually gets to that moment, so that by the time the content going forward, it then delivers your interactivity without you having to do anything. It's sort of a seamless experience. So I think that's absolutely right. Walmart is good. It's very smart to spend that money.
And we'll see what happens, because Walmart also has their video on demand service, Vudu, and they can translate virtual coin from MGM and other places. By the way, Tracy, you can give her a call or get into our chat room. Don't forget the number is 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. It's available at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. One thing that is interesting is that it seems that smart TV sets and devices have reached critical mass, and it appears that the only two groups that haven't talked about it are journalists like you and me in a major way, and the smart TV set makers and devices themselves. You still don't see a lot of coverage that's on an ongoing basis about this whole arena, especially with the use of artificial intelligence coming aboard. But the other thing is that we've had companies like Apple and Samsung and Amazon that have had opportunities to showcase, here's where we are with interactive television and smart TV sets and devices, and they don't take advantage of it. You hear nothing about Apple. You heard nothing about Apple TV when Apple had their event in Silicon Valley, and then a few weeks ago at the Brooklyn Academy of Music here in New York. Amazon had an event about Alexa in Seattle, nothing about Amazon Fire TV, which it's a part of. Samsung had their event at the Barclays Center, nothing about smart TVs, et cetera, et cetera. And I see that at your event on Thursday, there is not one panel specifically about what's going on with smart TV sets and devices. So the question is, why don't they want to talk? And are you concerned that it's like the public is catching on, but the journalists are not?
By the way, the person's name who I forgot, his name is Yoni Block from Echo. Just wanted to insert that. But we will be talking about smart TVs and interactivity. We do have Fire TV there. We have TiVo. We will be in Amazon. We'll be there and full force. So I think we're discussing it, but we're discussing it as a what's the future of the user experience. Session, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, we're discussing not only the look and feel, but also voice control and other forms of navigation. I think that a lot of those companies only want to talk about it in arenas like ours, perhaps, because we have the hardcore experts in the room who perhaps they can trust, you know, to discuss it in ways that doesn't go out to the billions and millions of people to make any promises. This is kind of a great event for airing ideas for and getting some feedback and getting a sort of insider baseball experience as to what people want and what is possible, what they think they might want to try out and see how the experts in the field think about it. So I would say we are going to be discussing all of those things. However, yeah, on a large scale, I think they're afraid to, you know, make any pronouncements. And you know, offering interactive TV as a whole experience is challenging. It's difficult with original content, and we're still not there yet.
So while it's only one panel, it's going to be like bits and pieces throughout your conference.
It's going to be spread into every single session, except for when you're just discussing data and measurement, addressable advertising, and the new hot buzzword, by the way, not that you asked, which is attribution. I mean, everybody is interested in tracking people as they hop through interactive experience to what's happening on your watch, that when you go shopping. So people are interested also in interactivity and commerce. So it's all, you know, it's happening. It's just you have to sort of go to the entire event to get the whole picture.
Yeah. Let's talk about the interactive commerce and interactive retailing, because it goes to what Walmart is out to do, perhaps with Echo, but it's also about the fact that now you have a vehicle like artificial intelligence, a voice way to talk back to your televisions at, say, you know, Alexa, order me an Uber ride, or Siri, get me in touch with Fandango to order a movie ticket to tonight's screening of whatever the film is that you want, or a Google Assistant, order me something from Chili's or McDonald's or Domino's Pizza. It mm-hmm. seems that artificial intelligence may be the gun that triggers interactive retailing on a mass basis. And I know you have at least one panel that's dealing with AI and what it might lead to.
Absolutely. I think you hit it on the head. I mean, I think voice is the future of navigating through all forms of media. That will trigger the interactive experience. I mean, look at the success of some of these games you just get on mobile phones, like HQ and stuff like that. People want, I think, interactivity with voice. I see my own daughter, my 11-year-old. She picks up that remote control, and she's driving her experiences immediately. I think if you're going to see interactive television appear in some kind of interesting novel way, it's going to be driven by a voice.
Tracy Swedlow is the editor-in-chief of Interactive TV Today, the longest-running newsletter of its kind covering that side of the TV world, and she is also the originator and host of the annual TV of Tomorrow show that comes to its annual New York event this Thursday at the School of Visual Arts Theater in Midtown Manhattan, 23rd Street, right off 8th Avenue, wonderful location. It's also a location of New York Television Festival, other things year-round as well. Tracy trying to fly from the Big Apple this half hour. And on Tomorrow We Televise, Simon Appleby with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us on this first Monday of December 2018. Can you believe how fast this year has gone? If you have a question or comment for Tracy, make the ring, 646-652-2906. or use our chat room, SimonApple041. In one case, anyway, on Friday, we will have from Starz critically acclaimed drama Counterpart, starting its second season in the next week or so, great executive producer Justin Marks, followed by the great executive producer of the popular Amazon series Patriot, Stephen Conrad. All Friday, live, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What do you think about the fact, Tracy, that we are at a point where smart TVs and devices have reached critical mass, that you have now the majority of the public embracing these sets and devices to the point where, I mean, as of September alone, 8 billion hours of content a month. That is extraordinary. It really is.
Mm-hmm. What do I think about it? I mean, I think there's just more coming. I mean, I just earlier got off the phone today with one of our keynotes, Karen Lever, who's in charge of all the Go products for Discovery. And, you know, they are delivering to, they're getting, I believe, 40 million streams a month. That's what she said. And they're generating a huge amount of original content just for platform viewing. iPhone, iPad, Apple, Roku, Android, and they're using Google and Alexa. I mean, all of these major networks, and a bunch of them are going to be at our conference, are going to discuss the fact that they have to and are delivering original content to big screens, to all screens, to your watch, to whatever app you're using on, whatever platform. I mean, it just doesn't seem to be able to, there's no stopping. There's going to be more and more and more because they're all trying to find that, that those content programs that just generate a huge amount of buzz, that galvanize the populace, that get you to buy up their platform, to upsell their platform, right? I mean, CBS All Access tried to get everybody to subscribe to Star Trek. And they spent a huge amount of money to launch that huge property to do that. I mean, these broadcasters are obviously willing to spend billions. They're all trying to compete with Netflix. I don't see anything slowing down.
And Tracy, something else is happening too that I think is really one of the sleeper stories this year is that you're seeing these sets of devices serve as a distribution point, either major or exclusive, for a whole new range of programming services. It's like back to where cable had channel capacity, multicast channels have channel capacity. Now it's like you have this unlimited channel capacity inside these smart sets of devices, and we're now seeing services pop up like AfroLife.tv, which is trying to be the Netflix of African Americans, and Reverie, the Netflix for the gay and lesbian community, and Blueprint, which is this crash channel for NBC Universal, and the Stage Network, and DC Universal and Warner Brothers, and what was Filmstruck now will be the Criterion Collection next year. And we've heard of two others, or three others at least, that either have launched or about to launch that we're trying to get on the program. We've had more of these services on our show this whole year than we've ever had before. And it seems that this is like the sleeper story. It's like we're seeing the next generation of television networks use these smart sets and devices to get to the viewer.
It's interesting that you bring up some of those smaller SVOD offerings like Stage, which just launched, and we interviewed them as well. And the fact that Filmstruck, of course, just folded, and now they've just announced the Criterion Collection, and I got an email from the Criterion Collection, do you want to re-up as soon as we launch? And I did. I mean, but the complaint from AT&T about Filmstruck was that Filmstruck, amongst a few other smaller services like Drama Fever, that they weren't mainstream enough. There weren't large enough audiences to support that content. So on one hand, I don't see anybody stopping generating and producing of original content. It's just like a virus, or I don't know what the right, a fever, a content fever, right? And yet some of these smaller services that are being bought up by the massive conglomerates are being shut down because AT&T feels that they've got to have some kind of massive mainstream service that's going to compete with Netflix or whatever other services they feel they're in competition with. So it's going to be a massive, fight, I think, over the next 2 years, because basically what's going on here is that there is so much data to be had by navigating this content, so much data to be had by tracking you, how you buy things, Amazon, of course, elephant in the room, has access to all your purchasing data. But now there's all this ability to collect data based on derived by how you shop at other stores in person, right? I mean, there's so much data that's going to be available now that content, it basically is the nervous system that allows people to gather that blood, right, the data, like blood. And then they'll be able to understand your blood type, and then they'll be able to know exactly what medicine to sell you. I mean, to use a metaphor, you see what I'm saying? It's kind of like the body of all of the people. I'm getting too much into a medical metaphor, but you see what I'm saying? It's like they data is so valuable that the only way they can collect that data is if they've got to give you content to surf. And so the more content that's out there, the more data they're going to collect.
There have been reports, Trace, that Costco, another one of the key retailers, might get into interactive promos. Have you heard that at all?
I'm sorry, repeat that?
That Costco
what?
Might get into interactive television or might do some sort of interactive retailing service.
I wouldn't doubt it. I don't think I heard that yet, but I trust your ability to pick up on stuff early like that. That's great.
Is there something that's under the radar screen for most people now that at the Team of Tomorrow event on Thursday that you want to bring out in the open? A trend in the making or some sort of development that let's keep our eye on because this could impact how things go in 2019 and beyond?
Well, I think attribution right now is the hot topic in the business community. And again, that's the ability to track what they call the customer journey. So they're watching you, how you buy, what store you go to, what data you just picked up on your watch, your Fitbit, whatever it is. All of these things are being collected and, companies are conglomerating. I also think that the major, major hot topic is still ATSC 3.0, which sounds like it's technology, but it's going to impact local television. And we're going to be doing a couple of sessions about the transformation of local television. And, in fact, I believe local television will be complete. Will become interactive in 2020. It's going to change the entire nature of television, the delivery of local television and news and things like that. And, of course, we're doing a really big session on news where we're going to discuss deep fakes and how does the evolution of the news industry affect an informed electorate. So I would say that news is going to be a majorly a big area of controversy going forward, and it's only going to transform.
I totally agree. And don't forget, we also have a bunch of news services that are now going on smart TV sets and devices. Localish from ABC, the own television station, Investigate TV from Raycom. There's Newsy, of course, which is available on smart TV sets and also on cable systems from Scripps. So there's a number of these. And again, I want to go back to the Choose Your Adventure. I think if Netflix does this Choose Your Adventure thing, or Walmart does Echo, or Alpha gets on interactive TV, look out. There could be a massive, massive shift in the way things are going to go in this interactive TV world. But
as soon as somebody shows that they can do an interactive experience and sell you something or deliver ads into that experience and then open up that whole universe to the super fan, right? That's the key. It's figuring out an interactive experience that delivers something to a super fan and then that super fan buys stuff or, grows it virally, then you're talking gold. And these are all of the things that we're discussing at TVOT, all of those kinds of topics.
TVOTNY happens Thursday, starting around 8 a.m. in the morning. School of Visual Arts Theater in Midtown Manhattan. You can still get tickets if you're in the area. Here's where you go, online, www.thetvoftomorrowshow.com. That's www.thetvoftomorrowshow.com. It's a great experience. And yours truly will be there as one of the agent provocateurs. So I'll be putting my 2 cents in and asking questions throughout the day there. Hopefully
and you always,
the opening
you always ask good, tough questions, Simon, so let him have it.
Will do. And, of course, Tracy, you do a wonderful job putting that show together every year. We're delighted it's back in New York this week. Tracy, thank you again for coming on. It's always a pleasure to hear your thoughts and hear where Interactive TV is going.
Thank you for the invitation, Simon. I love your radio show. You do a great job for the community, and we'll promote it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it, Tracy, and appreciate what you're doing. We'll catch you on Thursday, live in person. Take care.
See you then. Take care. Bye.
Tracy Twidlow, Interactive TV Today and the TV Tomorrow Show, joining us live from New York. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. First of all, nobody got the question we posed of the last 2 weeks, so let's give you the answer for that. Name one or two TV series headlined by pop movie star Robert Taylor. The answer, The Detective, that's the show we start in for 3 years on ABC, Pat Hour first 2 years, Hour the second. By the way, that's where Adam West, the Batman, got his first TV series role. And the other was Death Valley Days. He was one of the hosts, along with former President Ronald Reagan and other hosts as well. So the answers were The Detectives and Death Valley Days. By the way, Cat Detectives, the syndicated version of The Detectives, we would have taken that as an answer as well. All right, here's the question for this week. Three prizes in play. Very quickly, if you're first with the correct answer, Inside North Korea's Dynasty on DVD from Nasty Graphic, Season 1 as well as Pitbull from Nasty Wild, and the Genius Box by our former guest, David Tice, the famous TV observer. Here's the question. What animated holiday special, yes, we want to do a question for this holiday time of year, what animated holiday special in the 1960s featured a song called Ringo Ringo? What animated TV holiday special featured a song called Ringo Ringo? And I believe, by the way, this was the first animated TV holiday special made especially for television. It's one of the classics, too. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to close your name and where you're from. First with the correct answer, you win those prizes. If you missed the question a moment ago, post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. So get in the game, and maybe you can be our first winner of this holiday season. Well, I thank all our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning us in. Remember, coming up on Friday, we will have Justin Marks, creator executive producer of Counterpart on Starz, and Stephen Conrad, creator executive producer of Patriot on Amazon. If you came late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast version coming your way on iTunes, Apple TV and Speakers Podcast app, and of course, the IR Radio Podcast Network. Want to hear from you? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. Remember, we love hearing from you. Why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio speaker and iHeart Radio. Our production associate BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Crow is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of BTR are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televise is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For the free audiobook, actually three free audiobooks this holiday season, and that 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televise. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. And again, to all of our Jewish listeners, happy Hanukkah to you and yours. We're back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Spreaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And remember, until then, whatever you're up to this week, please make it safe and make it great. And until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.